Harper Audio presents More Tales of the City, written and read by Armistead Maupin.
The Valentine was a handmade pastiche of Victorian cherubs, pressed flowers and red glitter. Marianne Singleton took one look at it and squealed delightedly. "Mouse, it's magnificent!" "Open it," he grinned. She turned to the inside of the magazine-sized card, revealing a message in Art Nouveau's script. "My Valentine's Resolutions." Underneath were 10 numbered spaces. "See," said Michael, "you're supposed to fill it in yourself." Marianne leaned over and pecked him on the cheek. "I'm that screwed up, huh?" "You bet. I don't waste time with well-adjusted people. Want to see my list?" "Aren't you mixing this up with New Year's?" "Nah, that's nickel-dime stuff. Smoking, eating, drinking resolutions. These are the hardcore, maybe this time, kiss today goodbye, some enchanted evening resolutions." He reached into the pocket of his Pendleton and handed her a sheet of paper. "You've got 30 resolutions," she said. "How come you only gave me 10? He grinned. "Things aren't so tough for you." "Is that right, Mr. Gay Chauvinist Pig?" She attacked the Valentine with a flare, filling in the first four blanks. "Try that for starters. 1. I will meet Mr. Wright this year. 2. He won't be married. 3. He won't be gay. 4. He won't be a child pornographer." "I see," said Michael, smiling slyly. "Moving back to Cleveland, huh?" She was not moving back to Cleveland. She knew that much anyway. For all her trials, she loved it here in San Francisco, and she loved her makeshift family on Barbary Lane. So what if she was still a secretary? So what if she had not met Mr. Wright, or even Mr. Adequate? So what if Norman Neal Williams, the one semi-romance of her first 6 months in the city, had turned out to be a private eye moonlighting as a child pornographer who eventually fell to his death off a seaside cliff on Christmas Eve? And so what if she had never worked up the nerve to tell anyone but Mouse about Norman's death? As Mouse would say, almost anything beats the fuck out of Cleveland. Mouse, she realized, had become her best friend. He and his spacey but sweet roommate, Mona Ramsey, had been Marianne's mentors and sidekicks throughout her sometimes glorious, sometimes harrowing initiation into the netherworld of San Francisco. Even Brian Hawkins, an oversexed waiter whose advances had once annoyed Marianne, had lately begun to make clumsy yet endearing overtures of friendship. This was home now, this crumbling ivy-entwined relic called 28 Barbary Lane, and the only parental figure in Marianne's day-to-day existence was Anna Madrigal, a landlady whose fey charm and eccentric ways were legendary on Russian Hill. "You stay put," Marianne told Michael gleefully. "I've got a Valentine for you." She disappeared into the bedroom, emerging several seconds later with an envelope. Marianne's name was scrawled on the front in an assertive hand. The message inside was also handwritten. "Dear Marianne, by now you must need a little fun. The enclosed is for you and a friend. Head for someplace sunny. And don't let that little bastard give you any trouble. Always, E.H. "I don't get it," said Michael. "Who's E.H.? And what was in the envelope?" Marianne was about to burst. $5,000, Mouse, for my old boss, Mr. Halcyon. His lawyer gave it to me last month." "And this little bastard?" Marianne smiled. "My new boss, Beecham Day. Mouse, look, I've got 2 tickets for a cruise to Mexico on the Pacific Princess. Would you like to go with me?" Michael stared at her, slack-mouthed. "You're shitting me." "No. God damn. You'll go?" "Will I go? When? How long?" "In a week. For 11 days. Michael leaped to his feet and flung his arms around her.
"We'll get brown as a goddamn berry and find you a lover. And one for you.
One miracle at a time, please.
Now, Mouse, don't be negative.
Just realistic." He was still stinging from a brief affair with Dr. John Fielding, a handsome blonde gynecologist who had eliminated Michael as lover material when he discovered him participating in the Jockey Shorts dance contest at the end-up. "Look," said Mary Ann, "if I think you're really attractive, there must be plenty of men in this town who feel the same way." "Yeah," said Michael. "Size queens." "Oh, don't be silly." Sometimes Michael was sensitive about the dumbest things. "He's at least 5'9", thought Mary Ann. "That's tall enough for anybody."